Welcome to the One for the Money podcast. I'm your host, Johnny West. I'm a certified financial planner, and here I will teach you the tips, tricks, and strategies I use to help others retire early. This is the easy button when it comes to early retirement. Everything you want or need to know is right here. I'm so glad you join us on the show. Welcome to episode 60 of the One for the Money podcast. I'm so glad and grateful you've taken the time to listen. This episode is airing on April 15th, our tax filing deadline. And a key aspect of my financial planning practice is to identify and implement tax-saving strategies for my clients. I've been able to lessen the amount of taxes that many of them would have paid had they stayed on their original course. In this episode, I'll share why it's almost certain that everyone's taxes will be going higher in the future because of our annual federal deficit and our cumulative national debt. Another reason why it's imperative to start tax planning now, as taxes are almost certain to go higher in the future. In the tips, tricks, and strategies portion of the podcast, I'll highlight many tax-saving strategies and where you can find more information about them. Well, thank you again for listening. Now on with the show. I have been reading the economic and investment commentary of John Malden for nearly 20 years. I've attended his strategic investment conference the last 2 years, and I just signed up to attend this year, which will be his 20th year having the conference. During these investment conferences, I have had the chance to learn from some of the most accomplished investors, economists, and political strategists in the entire world. In the past, he's had Henry Kissinger, Ron Barron, David Rubenstein, David Bonson, Joe Lonsdale, Niall Ferguson, just to name a few. It's fascinating to directly hear the perspectives of those that manage billions of dollars and those whose policies have affected billions of people. In late December, John had a newsletter about fair shares of debt. And when I read the article, I knew I needed to share this perspective, as you really don't hear it too much. Maybe because the truth is hard to hear. Everyone wants the rich to pay their fair share of taxes. But as you'll see, for the most part, they do. And even if you had them pay way more, it won't be enough for the projected spending we have in place. In other words, the news I share is that your, my, and everyone else's taxes will almost certainly be going higher in the future. But first, let me set the stage. The federal government of the United States has an annual budget. It's the set amount that the federal government spends throughout the year. The amount they are currently spending is much more than the quote-unquote income they receive from individual and corporate taxes. Now, Brian Westbury is another brilliant economist I often read, and he said it this way at the beginning of March. Washington, D.C. continues to spend much more than it gets in revenue. In the calendar year of 2023, the federal government spent $6.3 trillion, but only collected $4.5 trillion in taxes. As Brian points out, that's a $1.8 trillion difference. Now, let's put all of this in context. Instead of $6.3 trillion of spending and $4.5 trillion of tax revenues, let's use a more simple example of a typical American. Let's say this American spends $63,000 a year, but only has a salary of $45,000 a year. That's an $18,000 difference. How can they possibly spend more than they make? Well, they borrow money, of course, and that's exactly what the United States of America does. They borrow money from investors selling IOUs to them, or as we call them, treasury bonds. Just what happens when you add up all of this overspending year after year? Well, that's called our national debt. That's the money we owe to those that purchased the treasury bonds. Right now, that total is over $34 trillion. I shared more in episode 33 of this podcast entitled Time to Pay the Piper. At that time, the deficit was just, and I say just, $31.5 trillion. but her debt is steadily climbing over $34 trillion as of this recording and is expected to be over $50 trillion by 2032. You can see more at the website usdebtclock.org. Now, it's important to pause here because many people pin the blame for the deficit and deficit spending on the opposite political party than the one they support. But the truth is that despite the political divide in this country, we've had broad bipartisanship support for spending. We've had multiple administrations from either party over the last 50 plus years, and we've only had five instances where America spent less than it took in. The years were 1969, 1997, 98, 99, and 2001. So clearly, overspending is not a partisan issue, but rather a bipartisan one. Both Republicans and Democrats overspend. The only difference is what they spend the borrowed money on. Now back to the task at hand, which is the annual and total deficit. We must get our deficits lowered because the interest costs are set to become enormous. In 2028, federal tax revenue is expected to be $6.1 trillion, but the actual spending is supposed to be $11.7 trillion, and just the interest payments on the debt will be nearly $2.7 trillion that year. This is a ticking tax time bomb. Between 2022 and 2032, the U.S. government is expected to spend $8.1 trillion just on interest expense alone. That's a huge extra expense and something we want to lessen. In order to reduce our debt and the interest we pay on it, we will need to stop adding to it each and every year with the government's extra spending. That's where we come to John Malden's commentary about our options. As John Malden says, yet people continue to say we could balance the budget and pay down the debt by making the rich pay their fair share. Now, I wish it were that easy. I really do. But sadly, as I'll show you, it's not. Now, as John points out, the U.S. income tax system is designed to be progressive, meaning the percentage owed rises as income rises. For a long time, it was so progressive that only the very wealthy paid anything at all. That's not the case now, but the wealthy still pay much higher percentages of their income. Now, here's how it looked in the year 2020, which was the latest available data from the IRS, and this information is courtesy from the Heritage Foundation. Now, the top 1% of earners in America, and those are for people that earn over $548,000 per year, they earn 22% of the income, but paid 42% of the income taxes received by the federal government. Now, the top 5% of earners earned more than $220,000. They earned 38% of the income, but paid 62% of the taxes to the government. And the top 10% of earners in America, those are for anyone that is earning $152,000 or more. They earned 49% of the income, but paid 73% of the taxes to the government. Now, the remaining bottom 90%, those that made less than $152,000, earned 50% of the income and paid 26% of the taxes. As John Malden states, if the goal is for the wealthy to pay the most, that's what's happening. The top 5% pay a larger share of their taxes than their share of income, almost twice as much for the top group. Meanwhile, the reverse is true for the bottom half. Their tax liability is half or less than their share of income. Now, let's see how difficult it'll be to balance the budget by just increasing taxes on the wealthy. Now, the U.S. deficit will rise by an average of $2 trillion a year for the next decade. That's an extra $2 trillion of spending. And so, because we're going to have an extra $2 trillion of spending, we will need an extra $2 trillion of tax revenue. Now, John Malden notes that currently, income taxes make up half of the total revenues, payroll taxes another third, with corporate and import taxes making up the remainder. Now, for any that think you just need to massively increase taxes on corporations, they need to know that this will have huge unintended consequences and lead to massive unemployment and business closures. Corporations' budgets are similar to individuals, and massively raising taxes on one segment will have hugely negative consequences, such as business closures and layoffs. Now, here's why we can't just raise taxes on the top 1% either. In 2020, they paid $722 billion in taxes. If we raised their taxes by 50%, that would be an extra $361 billion, give or take. That's only 18% of the extra $2 trillion that the government plans to spend. If we increase taxes by 50% on the top 10% of earners in the United States, and a reminder, those are for the earners that make more than $152,000 a year, this would only raise an extra $700 billion of the extra $2 trillion we are spending. So we still need another $1.3 trillion. In fact, if we raise taxes by 50% on everybody from the bottom 1% to the top 1%, it would only get us an extra $850 billion, which is a little less than half of the extra spending that the government has already projected. Clearly, we don't have enough money just to match the current projected spending of the government. Instead, they have to reduce spending and raise taxes on individuals and corporations, and likely also look for additional sources of tax revenue, because income tax and corporate tax by itself won't cut it. Now, there are a few options. In episode 33, I share how states are looking at instituting a wealth tax. Now, there could be a national wealth tax as well, but the constitutionality of this isn't assured. But if it passes constitutional muster, for those that think these actions will work, we need to remember that the ultra high net worth are always the first subjects of such taxes, but they hire the lawyers and accountants to avoid them. As the golden rule goes in Congress, he who has the gold makes the rules. And then coming to a tax bracket near you will be these same wealth taxes. Now, the initial foray will always be towards the wealthy, but it would be foolish to believe that the wealth taxes stop there. I'll also add that several European countries that initiated wealth tax have since abandoned it because it wasn't working. It actually decreased tax revenues rather than raised them. Now, other ways to raise more revenue, and this is the most likely option, in my opinion, is a national sales tax or value-added tax. These national sales taxes work just like the state and local taxes you currently pay, except that the revenue would go instead to the federal government. A value-added tax is where taxes are paid by the various steps in production of a good. For example, for a loaf of bread, the farmer would provide the wheat. The mill that would grind it to flour and the baker would all pay a little tax. Of course, it would all be baked into the final price, pun intended, that is paid by the consumer. I'm against a value-added tax, as politicians could exempt favored industries over others, but because Congress could use it to their benefit, it will probably happen. Now, the federal government could raise taxes a lot of other ways as well, taxation of inheritance or even life insurance, the latter being much less likely, but given the size of the annual and total deficit, I don't think anything will be off the table. As I shared in episode 59, pre-tax retirement accounts like 401ks or traditional IRAs may be eliminated so that everything would be an after-tax account instead. That way, the high earners couldn't shield their income from these taxes. According to a Bloomberg opinion piece, it stated that the federal government gets increasingly desperate for new sources of revenue. The tax treatment of 401ks is a likely target. All of this costs the government an estimated $185 billion a year, or 0.9% of GDP. That definitely could be a target. There's a host of other revenue sources the government could find. They could lower the primary home exemption, the amount from $250,000 per individual or $500,000 for couples. Let's say you and your spouse years ago bought a home you lived in for $250,000 and it's now worth $750,000. If you sold it for a $500,000 gain, you wouldn't pay any income taxes on that. But with all of the appreciation of home values that we've had over the last few years, if they lowered that amount, they could raise a lot of tax revenue based on real estate sales. Another option is to lower what is exempt from inheritance taxes. Currently, it's $12 million per individual. I believe that will go way down because no one feels sorry for people that inherit money having to pay more in taxes. Suffice it to say, we and really our children are in a heap of trouble given our debt obligations. We'll eventually have to pay the piper for our overspending. What exactly happens is uncertain, but I believe what is almost certain is that our taxes will be going higher to pay for it in the future. We can't just hope the deficit goes away. Well, I'm really sorry for this sobering topic, but the bad news is often necessary. I hope you found this helpful. And now onto the tips, tricks, and strategies portion of the podcast, where I'll share tips on how you can save on taxes. Welcome to the tips, tricks, and strategies portion of the podcast, where I'll share the various tax-saving strategies and where you can find more information about them, because everyone has to pay taxes, but no one says you need to leave a tip. However, in order to implement these tax-saving strategies, you must have an understanding of them, which I provided in over 10 episodes of this podcast. In the past episodes, I've outlined numerous ways to save money on taxes. The Augusta Rule, where you can rent your primary residence for 14 or less days each year, and all of the money earned is tax-free. For business owners, it's even better, as they can rent their home to their business and get a deduction on the expenses from their business and transfer tax-free income to themselves. See episodes 8 and 9 for those details. I've also discussed Roth contributions and when they make the most sense. See episode 1. Roth conversions. See episodes 12, 26, 49. And Roth IRAs for your kids. See episode 6. I also discussed traditional and 401k contributions. Again, episode 1. I discussed defined benefit plans, where I've helped several clients reduce over $250,000 in a single year from the highest tax rates. These were highlighted in episode 7. And health savings accounts have figured prominently as well. See episodes 2, 8, 9, 26, 29, and 59. I also discussed tax loss harvesting and its incredibly powerful and less well-known sibling, tax gain harvesting, in episode 26. In episode 34, I shared about net unrealized appreciations, or NUAs, which is a significant tax savings that could be hiding in your 401k if you own company stock. In episode 51, I shared tax advantage ways to give to charity through donor advised funds, qualified charitable distributions, as well as donating appreciated stock and tax saving strategy to stack contributions. As I've shared, taxes are going higher in the future, but you can implement strategies so you can pay less tax now, and so you get to spend more of your money and the government gets to waste less of it. As I tell my clients, you make better spending decisions than the government, so let's make sure you are the decision maker for more of your money. Again, I hope you found this helpful, and remember, a better life is a result of better planning and especially better tax planning. Have a great one. Thank you for listening, and until next time, remember that no one builds wealth by accident. If you want to learn more about how to build wealth to retire early, head on over to my website at betterplanningbetterlife.com.
The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. There is no assurance that the techniques and strategies discussed are suitable for all investors or will yield positive outcomes. The purchase of certain securities may be required to affect some of the strategies. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal. Economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Individual tax and legal matters should be discussed with your tax or legal professional.
Johnny West is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.